And, you know, like, for example, shopping malls inherently drive an automobile society because, you know, they are very difficult to reach. They are huge parking lots. And they, I mean, apparently every item that gets sold in a mall setting does not get sold in a small neighborhood store.
And who wants that CRA crap anyway that they sell there?
Yeah. Don't ask me, you know. But, you know, apparently people go there because otherwise the stuff wouldn't get built. So it's this whole loop. It's there, it gets used. And
No. I don't think that is... When he said people go there, otherwise they wouldn't get built. Because the local stores can not compete, compete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they close down.
Mm-hmm.
So the local stores close down. So then you have to go to the big mall store because there isn't a local store.
If there's
anymore.
No alternative left,
Yeah.
I mean, in a way, this area is still very fortunate. The Bay Area, I mean, there's a natural grocery store just around the corner. There are local stores, and it's wonderful that they exist and that they can compete. There was a discussion in Albany because Albany is going to get a target market there, and there was a lot of concern among the small businesses up and down Solano, whether, you know, they would be affected by Target. And then in the end, it was a very passionate discussion. I was in the audience there when there was the public hearing about it, and it was interesting to kind of listen to the various points to the picture. In the end, they decided doing it, allowing Target to move in, because they said, well, you know, in the end, it's different needs, and if it's a different audience, it's probably not entirely true. The stores on Solano will be affected.
Absolutely.
By it.
How could they not be?
Yeah.
It seems like that's just rationalizing. Yeah. That is fuzzy
math.
Thinking.
Fuzzy thinking.
Fuzzy
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't like big box stores, and I mean I rarely ever go there, and I could live without them. I don't have a problem with that. I think the decision was made just because it's revenue for the city. You know, if they have a Target store, and I mean, especially if people off the freeway stop there and buy their stuff there, that goes into the pocket of the city, and then the city has money to spend. But you know, that's it's again. I mean, for them, they made that decision for a number of reasons. I think there can be a good coexistence between a few larger stores and smaller stores. But the tendency is that, you know, like once something reaches a certain size, it starts swallowing up everything else, and. In a way, it's amazing that there are still like smaller, thriving stores around, and I'm really impressed by every business and every store that can survive in a climate like that. I think it really takes a lot of gut and talent and passion to have a specialty store and run it.
H. E. Hey. the M A, the mall, is the S specialty store.
Yeah.
The mall's the specialty store, not the small stores.
Is the mall is the specialty store?
He's saying the mall is not the small stores are more organic from what the community needs.
Yeah.
And then these big things are, he's called the specialty store. They just kind of come in from nowhere and try to create a need. But, but N-I-N-O, not N-O-T, notice the L-A-N-G, the language. Notice the language. The specialty.
Uh-huh.
The S, the small store.
Mm-hmm.
R, the small stores are L, A, labeled specialty stores. So, and then, you know, specialty then seems like it's kind of extra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like the impression that word that makes in the brain.
I mean, there are, for example, Monterey Market, I think, is a wonderful store. And, you know, apparently they are thriving. I think this is actually a very good model. It's one of my favorite corners, like Hopkins Street in Monterey, because you have this little strip of 5 or 6 stores, and all of them are, you know, have... They concentrate on something. There's a fish store, there's a poultry store, there's a liquor store, there's a Chinese restaurant, and there's a tea store, and all of those things.
Yes.
And this is actually...
R-O. And Roma, the cafe.
And Cafe Roma, my favorite place across the street. And so I think this is a really good model for something that's local. It's a good size, but it's not... kind of boutique-y.
Right.
It's very
functional.
It's very practical.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that something like that exists. And there are, you know, there are other areas in this country where, you know, you have no choice. There's only Walmart.
In fact, that that model. Will be threatened.
Yeah.
No, will be the S A saving grace, the saving grace when the when the oil dries up or gets too expensive.
Mm-hmm. The connection with the oil, because then, you know, it's more local. And, you know, in general, like localizing things, I think there's places for global trade. You know, if some country has like a real specialty, like a special skill or a special product, and you know that has always been like there has been this silk route, because you know silk was available and in Asia, and then it has been transported into Europe, and salt has been carried somewhere else. In some areas there wasn't salt, but it seems everything should be as local as it can be, as it can reasonably be. And you know, then I mean, apparently you can't grow bananas here. It's not the right climate for bananas. So I mean, bananas may be one of the things that you know you import.
Don't
eat bananas. Yeah. Well, you know, I think on a banana on occasion. I think it's about the moderation. If you completely, my sense is, there's something.
you need to M O O M O no, you need to look to look for G L O global L A B labor R I rights S you need to look at global labor rights if in G L global T trade
I mean that's the what's interesting is that just a few days ago, I believe Levi Strauss, the jeans company, closed their last factory in the U.S. or the last two factories, and so it's really this icon of American garment is now completely produced in Asia, probably because you know labor is cheaper there. It's a very silly thing.
We just heard it was like 20 cents an hour.
Yeah.
So that the factories are closing in Mexico and Central America because they were paying people 70 cents an hour. And so they can move now to China and pay them 19 cents an hour. So don't buy Levi's. Is that what you were wearing?
No, it's not.
It's not Levi. But the L A the label.
The label.
Labels.
Yeah.
L lie. Yeah. I've started noticing labels will say. Stuff like what was it? They have some part of it's in the U.S., but it's made in. They'll say something like cotton from the U.S. and then in smaller print, made in China. They're already kind of figuring out how to mislabel things to try to trick you.
Yeah.
We are. C H A changing our S I our sign out on our front lawn says war is terrorism.
Yeah.
We're changing it to Y buy from murdering corporations.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's, you know, in terms of a like a bigger change through society, you know, one has to ask oneself how did we even get to the point where we are, and how can you introduce change that affects a lot of people? I always, you know, notice that in green building circles, there's like a community that is interested in green building, and it's like architects and planners, but also other people that are not professionally involved with green building, and you know it's kind of a group. And you over time you keep running into the same people, and there's a talk and a speech and a lecture and a trade show and like about green building materials and whatnot. And you know basically it's like this self-revolving group. And you know to some extent when you go to these events, it's a little bit preaching to the choir because your audience is there because you know, they believe in what you're saying, and I think the key is how do you reach a broader audience? How do you get, you know, how do you get...
No.
How can you...
No. One of the M, one of the main T... A tactics of the C Oh, the combine is 2 MA make you think that you need to reach large numbers of people in order to be effective. That PREA, preaching to the choir, is not effective.
Well, you know, it's effective in a way that, you know, you do it, you share your experiences and you grow to like a higher level of understanding by communicating with people, you know, that pursue similar goals. But there's still this kind of line going, you know, in a way, it's very often, you know, that you work on, you know, getting a building designed and put together so it's as environmentally friendly as it could be. And then right next to it is something that completely ignores all the principles of green building. How can you make it more of a common good that, you know, people understand the importance and the principles there? You know, it's like many of those things that need to be done to improve our built environment are not rocket science. They're actually fairly easy. And, you know, how can you get to a point that it's more widely accepted? And also in terms of, you know, we spoke about what is enticing about a society. Why isn't it enticing to minimize your ecological footprint? You know, why are people proud that, you know, they have a very high income? Why aren't they proud of a different type of achievement? Where you, for example,
did you see the N E next N E X next D O O door over here? Kathy's? Did you notice the house next door to us recently?
Not in particular.
What are you talking about? The color? Is that it? How to affect things? So she's painting her house bright colors.
Yeah.
And Frank's using that as an example of, you know, of affecting change just by living the way you believe.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you can't expect any, you know, you can't expect to be convincing in any way if you don't lead by example. You know, if you say one
but
thing and do something completely different.
But then he's also saying, like, when you say you put that building up and then you're frustrated at the building next door, how it's completely opposite. And so I think Frank is saying that the act of you putting the building up is having a positive impact, even though it may appear that, you know, the frustration of having that other building that – like Kathy coloring her house after us living here 8 years or whatever, that it does, it's putting something out that is affecting change just by doing it. That is how, see, change happens. It's just those little ways that add up.
Yeah. But, you know, given the... we talked about global warming. It's really important that things happen fast. It's I'm somewhat pessimistic. You know, I think the most dramatic damage that is going to be done to, like in the natural world. I'm not talking about social impacts, which is a very, you know, large topic, but it's so complicated. Let's just focus on, like, the natural world, and I think that one of the big problems is all this, the species that disappear, because those you cannot bring back. I think eventually, I don't think that the planet is going up in flames, you know, even with climate change, because all the ecosystems that remain will adapt to that climate. In the end, you might have a world, you know,
might be without the human race,
exactly,
but the rest of the planet.
The rats might thrive. In the end, you know, natural
rats and the cockroaches,
natural systems will somehow reestablish themselves.
CIB, civilization was A E V O evolution, F failure, but E evolution, M O moves on, moves forward, no, moves B by F. Evolution moves by failure.
Yeah.
Civilization was a failure. Evolution, failure. CI, civilization was A, B, L, I, a blink of an eye.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, probably so. But then again, you know, I think the human mind has achieved wonderful things. I mean, if you look at you know, like vibrant cities, music, literature, it's fantastic things.
K, E, we keep. T, E, telling. O, ourselves. That we keep telling ourselves that about how great the human mind is. We humans keep telling ourselves about how great the human mind is.
I think there are wonderful things that are very enjoyable. But you know, I still, you know, I'm not too pessimistic that that kind of civilization can find a path that is, you know, geared towards like a sustainable civilization.
It's
not looking too good at the moment. That's true.
I H E I heard L A last week at C A C Cancun.
Mm-hmm.
A, G, a guy said, C, I, civilization is D, U, D, I, S, destroying the T R I tribal C cultures B E B E because T tribal culture works. P O P O F F E R
offers
the
alternative
that has worked for forever. So that's why civilization is trying.
But then again, you know, like Western civilization is also like a spin-off of, you know, tribal cultures in Central Europe, like 5,000-6,000, not only Central Europe, like various parts of the world. I think the question is, where do we go from now? I mean, it's basically. We have to deal with the situation as it is right now, and how would you deal with, how would you reintroduce tribal culture? That, you know, that's, I think that's the difficult part.
This, that we, that is what I am doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of what our lives have been about for the last 30 mm-hmm. years, is through the art we do, through our lifestyle, through our relationships, through lover, now most recently, is, you know, we live tribally, and we, you know, put that out in the world by example, and then, you know, we create communities, whatever we do. Mm-hmm. So we've created a pretty extended community through the internet and through performances and Frank's one-on-one work with people. So we're constantly expanding our model to include more people, and it just keeps seeping out. Everything we kind of do trickles into... You know, Frank writes a lot. There's a lot of, you know, pictures and videos out of stuff we do. So that's how we're doing it. That's how we're doing it, person by person. It is amazing. Yeah, I mean, after doing it, it's almost 30 years now that Frank and I have been together doing it. And so you start to really get feedback over the years, and you start to see that it's really making an impact. And now we have more media stuff just through public access and the internet, so we're reaching more people. Not that that's our focus, you know, but it's just happening that way.
How would you describe that these people's lives change? You know, after they meet you and you talk to them,
oh man,
they're exposed to your art.
There's so many things. You know, so many people. You know, we like Fred Hatt, like Jen. I mean, like he's a guy in New York that came to a performance that we thought was one of the worst performances we had ever done in New York City. And, you know, 10 years later, after email starts, he writes Frank an email saying that he's an artist, and he was kind of stuck and not really knowing where to go with it. And then he came to this performance, and everything opened up. And now he's out there doing things with his art and his life that are creating the kind of reality that we believe is the kind that will make things work. That's just from coming to one five-hour performance. That's one person. Frank now has more people that are traveling here to work with him. He'll do these intensives where somebody will stay here in the studio and work with Frank for like 7 days or 10 days or 14 days. Then they go back to, like in Jen's case, she lives in Toronto. We have people from all over the place. And then you know, they kind of create that. It expands out into their lives, and now
so you empower them to find their own creativity, and or.
Well, I mean, Frank. You know, Frank has a lot of pretty strong ideas about how life and relationships work, and he's spent a lot of years, you know, honing them, and he's a practical guy, so he can really get you going in the right direction, using what you are and who you are. So, yeah, so what, she goes back, she has a boyfriend, their life, you know, shifts, you know, she was working in temp jobs and not happy, she's a photographer. He's helped her find ways that she can use her photography to make a living. And so that's changing her life, and now she's, you know, feeling more creative, and then Nick is, in, you know, happy because she's happy. And
Nick is her boyfriend. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so you see, you know, really major, major changes. She's out there. She's a powerful person, and she's out there, you know, doing things and staying real connected with us. She comes back here once a year for an intensive. Now she's sending shows, tapes for Lover. That's like a new thing. So she's out there in Toronto making tapes. And we have, you know, so many stories like that, file cabinets of stories like that. And so you can see... And we are so focused on just person by person. It's like it's us sitting here with you, you know. I mean, that's what it's all about for us. And then you see how that really multiplies. But we, there, then, we, P, H, P, U, put it on the internet mm-hmm. and on public access and yeah. And, you know, a lot of people listen to the stuff on our archives and watch yeah. the stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, you do a performance that 10 people were there, and, you know, there's constantly somebody watching it on the internet now, you mm-hmm. know. So it's really reaching a lot more people. Like T-H, this, T-H-O, those... are those radical groups don't use N, don't use you, don't understand that you can start out small and still yeah, okay. reach lots of people.
Yeah.
They think, don't, S, P, E, E, don't, S, P, E, P, R, E, spread, A, preach to the choir.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, with the internet, the big, you know, you can be as small as you want once it's out on the internet. Anybody who's interested in it can look at it. That's I think that's in a way like a new quality that hasn't really existed before.
You
know, like if you have like print media, you can only print so many flyers and give them away. But you know, on the internet,
but F L I. E flyers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the way we've been getting the word out for years.
With flyers,
that's what we do, mm-hmm. you know, because we've never been the type. Oh well, that's not true. I mean, we have made it into the media a lot, yeah. but we don't depend on that. Mm-hmm. We use flyers, and then you find out somebody who will come to something and they'll mm-hmm. say, "I've been looking at your flyers for 15 years, and I collect them or something, and I'm finally able to come to something." A L, a lot of people. S, say that. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. really common.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's like a really, you know, fairly inexpensive way that you don't have to depend on mm-hmm. any power structure to mm-hmm. approve of what you're doing to reach people like that. But you don't know. M, most of the E effects of what you do.
Yeah.
If you are E, A, really, if you realize. If you realize that, then you can R-E-L relax and just do what you're moved to do.
Yeah. In terms of, you know, like, your activity and kind of reintroducing tribal social dynamics into our society, how would you, or do you have a vision how that should look like or could look like in terms of a built environment? Do you have a preferred lifestyle? Like, would you prefer like a city life or a rural life or a small town? Is there like something that because probably most people would associate tribal lifestyle, what kind of living a small, maybe nomadic lifestyle,
we're very much like kind of use what you got, work with what you've got, you know. Like some people like move to North Carolina and get land and do that. I mean, we have this house, we have a house down the street, you know. So there's, you know, we and then we function, you know, as a unit. I am a C. I, city boy.
You're a city boy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I think in terms of the reforming society, I very often run into the folks that are very dogmatic, say everybody needs to go kind of back to the country or something like that. And kind of live off the land and all of those things. It doesn't work for everybody. And I think it's not even
that
it's not desirable. I think the plural it's
isolating.
Yeah, and for some people it might be a right choice. I mean, we did a project for an intentional community in where are they? They're in Missouri, and they bought some land there, and they, you know, basically try to live off the land as well as it's possible. It's their kind of experiment to do that. But, you know, there are other ways. I think there's probably no form of living together that is completely wrong in terms of the size. You know, cities have their place, and small towns have their place.
Jay, just L-O, local.
Yeah. Local. I mean, there are things, I think, that don't have their place. For example, like a gated community that's just houses with, you know, what's completely decoupled from any...
That
people don't work there.
Is not local.
Yeah.
That is not...
It's not... Yeah.
Yeah. That is not even a community.
Yeah. It's true. And I think that's a big flaw.
So, how long have we been going?
2:35.
So we've been going 2:35.
Oh wow!
So we've already gone beyond what will fit on the cable show in one show. We'll have to figure it out. there's been no gaps either to edit out. Yeah.
Oh, you can probably edit out, you know.
We generally don't edit, you know, we just put everything in there. But sometimes if it's a band, there'll be 5 minutes while we set up the conversation. Yeah. If I need to, I can cut out that 5 minutes. But we've been talking pretty much. We can P-U put the E-X extra on to the following week. Yeah. It'll be part two. Is that what you were going to say? On to the following week show? Right. Yeah. We are on five nights a week. We're on cable television week because there's two shows now. Mm-hmm. So the 2.5 hour show is on 3 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1 hour show is on 3 nights a week. Mm-hmm. And Monday night, both shows are on back to back. So from 10 till 1:30, it's all us.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of material that you have to put together.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot.
And we hardly spoke about green building, just on the sides. You know,
yes. Like, I was aware of that.
Yeah.
E, X, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Yeah. P, E, people, think, two. People think when we say a 2 hour show, a lot of people go, you know, what are we going to talk about for 2 hours? It always just goes by so quickly.
And I was wondering, well, do they play music in between or
no.
something like that? You know, it's like the Charlie Rose show.
Right.
You know, just the table.
We don't do that.
Oh, actually, I didn't even get to drink my tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
M-O, most people, most P, U, B, public, A, C,
access.
Mm-hmm. Most public access shows, have music. No, L, I, L. Most public access shows, C.
Channels.
Limit. Yeah. Berkeley, we have found to be, there may be others, but we haven't run into them yet. In Berkeley, we have two shows, mm-hmm. and we named the length. Frank came up with 2.5 hours, and they said okay.
Okay.
In L.A., a half hour is mm-hmm. the maximum, and you can only have one show.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, in other words, our friend in L.A. can't sponsor our show because she has her own show.
Mm-hmm.
I am imagine what we could not talk about if we only had a half hour.
Mm.
What a different thing
it's
this
true.
Would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, you know.
He has to flip tapes because we're out of the... You want to cut it now? Give your website and your name and all that stuff.
Okay. So our firm is DSA Architects. That stands for Daniel Smith and Associates. Mm-hmm. And we are located in Berkeley, California. And the website is www.dsaarch.com. There's two A's in the middle. dsaarch.com.
Mm.
And
your name?
My name is Dietmar Lorenz, and I'm one of the architects there, and we do green building. Check out our website, and then you find more details. And
it's a really neat website.
Yeah. And a lot of the things that we're doing are like straw bale construction and passive solar design. And so it's basically all about, you know, making buildings more like ecologically friendly and more sustainable. And there's a lot to say about that, but
yes.
you know,
I think that's,
some other time.
I think that's it.
We're
tapes.
Out.
That's it. We.
Yeah, still
we. Will. Should. Would. Could. Have. You back another time.
That would be great.
That would be great. There's lots to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.